Homily for the 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. Prior to COVID, I used to go to Angola every now and then with my confirmation students from different parishes for retreats. And we would go to do a retreat at Angola Prison, not to serve the inmates or to preach to the inmates or to teach the inmates or to disciple the inmates, but to be taught by the inmates, to learn from the inmates, to be discipled by them. Because a number of these inmates at Angola are radical disciples of Jesus Christ. A number of these inmates at Angola, they have fallen in love with Jesus and they are living out the sacramental life of the Catholic Church. They are accompanying dying brothers in Christ by praying the rosary for them and holding their hands as they experience their last days in hospice at Angola in prison. They are facilitating Bible studies in prison and teaching RCIA classes and serving at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass whenever priests are able to get there. And so we bring students there so that our students who are preparing to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit, so they can encounter these men who have encountered and fallen in love with Jesus to be ministered to by them. And the last time I went, it was before COVID, and we took our kids to Angola, and the inmates facilitated a retreat for our students. It was very powerful. And as we were preparing to leave, one of the young men, he approached me, and he said, "Father Josh, do you mind if I talk to you for a minute?" So we went for a walk with each other, and he shared with me his story. He shared with me how when he was a young kid, he was being initiated into a gang, and part of the gang initiation was to break into someone's house, and he knew one of his friends was not going to be home that day, so he went to his friend's house to break in just so he could fit in with this gang. And when he got there, the friend was not home, and the parents of the friend were not home, but unfortunately, his friend's little sister was home. And when he saw her, when she saw him, and she saw him breaking into their house, she began to scream, and he got scared, and he ended up shooting her. He took her life. He killed her. He went to jail, and he was sentenced to life in prison. So now he's at Angola, and while he's in Angola, none of his friends from that gang ever came to see him. They never wrote him letters. They never called him. They never visited. The only people who invested in him, who remained intentional in their relationship with him, were his family, his mom, his sister, and his grandma. And every time they would come to prison, they would encourage him to come back to Jesus, to come back to the sacraments. They were a Catholic family. He had not yet been confirmed. And they encouraged him to get plugged into their chapel at Angola so that he could receive the sacrament of confirmation. He eventually and reluctantly went to the chapel at Angola. And when he went there, he encountered a group of men who also were broken, who also were wounded, who also had done things that they regretted, but who had encountered the mercy and the love of Jesus, who were living in the forgiveness of Jesus and who were making reparation for their sins that they had committed. And he encountered men who did not judge him or shame him for what he had done, but who embraced him in his brokenness and who invited him and who welcomed him to the table. And he came back to the church and went to the sacrament of reconciliation, received confirmation, became a campus minister himself, would accompany other people in prison who were dying by praying the rosary for them and holding their hands as they took their last breaths. He facilitated RCIA classes and led Bible studies and now is putting on retreats. And he's been doing this discipleship thing for a while. Again, like the inmates who ministered to him, he did not allow his past mistakes to dictate his future calling from Jesus to be a disciple and a disciple maker. He did not allow his past sins and mistakes and stuff to prevent him from fulfilling the great commission to go out and make disciples. However, he began to recognize that his discipleship and disciple-making efforts were somewhat mediocre after he read a newspaper article. He read a newspaper article where he read about our call and the Lord's desire for us to go out to all people in our geographical boundaries. Not just some people, not just the people who are showing up, not just the people who are coming to our Bible studies or who are coming to church, but to all people, particularly people out there who aren't coming in here. He recognized his geographical boundaries are the entire prison at Angola. And there are places and spaces at Angola where he had not gone because it's quite frankly too dangerous. There are some inmates who are violent, and there are some inmates who are filled with the vice of wrath. There's some inmates who are not mentally there, and so they can be dangerous to be around. And he realized that he had never gone out to them to share him, Jesus, with them. So he asked the warden if he could have permission to go and to evangelize, to share the joy of the gospel, to invite those men to a relationship with Jesus in the sacramental life of the church. He received permission and he began to do this. Now, when he began to do this, it was dangerous. It was not safe sometimes, just like it wasn't safe for the saints who were martyred while they shared the gospel. He's been spit on. He's been cursed at. Different people have even thrown feces at him, attacked him, mocked him, laughed at him. But week after week, he continues to go out. Week after week, he continues to go out to them to share Jesus with them. This young man has life in prison. He's not doing this to get time off. He's doing this because it's what Jesus wants all of us to do. He's fulfilling the Great Commission in the geographical boundaries of his community. What he is doing is what the saints did before him. One of the greatest saints in the church's history was also an inmate, was also a prisoner. His name was St. Paul. St. Paul wrote the majority of the New Testament. St. Paul was a murderer. St. Paul wrecked so many lives. He destroyed so many families. He separated children from their parents and imprisoned Catholics. And he killed people. Stephen, the first martyr in the Bible, his death was done at the hands of Paul. Paul's consent is why he died. Paul was not a great guy. But Jesus called Paul to be a follower, to be a disciple, and to be a disciple maker. And Paul, like the young man in Angola, did not allow his past mistakes. He did not allow his past sins to prevent him from fulfilling the Great Commission, from going out and sharing Jesus with people. He repented of his sins. He made reparation for his sins. And then he went out there to make it right in his community by inviting everyone to Jesus. After Paul became a Christian, after he was baptized, after he was brought into the church, his life was not easy. His life looked like the life of many of the early church Christians, and he was persecuted. He was mocked, just like Jesus. He was cursed, just like Jesus. He was whipped, just like Jesus. He was stoned, just like Stephen, who died at his hands. He was imprisoned. All these bad things happened to Paul. And while he was in prison, he didn't have a pity party and say, "Oh, this is terrible." No. He did not allow his circumstances to dictate what he was and was not going to do. Jesus said, make disciples, period. Not make disciples when it's convenient for you. Not make disciples when it's really comfortable. Not make disciples when you want to make disciples. So now he's in prison. And he writes the second letter in today's Mass to Philemon about a prisoner, an inmate whom he encountered, Onesimus, a man who was a slave. A man who did not know Jesus, a man who was not a member of the body of Jesus Christ in the church. And he discipled him. He first witnessed to him what a disciple is by his virtue. And then he shared Jesus with this man. He prayed with this man. He baptized this man and shared the gospel with this man. Gave this man life eternal right there in prison. He did not allow his past sins to stop him from making disciples. Nor did he allow his present circumstances to stop him from making disciples. Paul made disciples where he was planted. What Paul did, what this young man at Angola is doing, is what you and I are also invited to participate in today in the geographical boundaries of our land, of our community. We're not supposed to say, I'm going to go make disciples when it's comfortable or when it's fun or when it's convenient. I'm going to go be really intentional about making disciples when I go on a 2-week mission trip to Honduras or to Mexico or to Africa or to Asia or to Europe. That's whenever I'm going to go and be really, really intentional. Or I'm going to be a disciple maker when I show up to confirmation class or my small group Bible study or the ministry I participate in. I'm going to compartmentalize when I'm going to make disciples. No, Jesus Christ says make disciples of all nations at all times, in all places, in all spaces. So we cannot compartmentalize our efforts of encountering and sharing Jesus Christ with others to just a few events. He wants us to do it in the ordinary circumstances of our daily lives. So what are your ordinary circumstances? Are you a student right now in school? Do you have a job where you are spending many hours in your workplace environment? Do you live in a neighborhood? Do you go shopping at a particular grocery store consistently and intentionally? Do you live in the context of a family? What are your circumstances in this season of your life? Whatever your circumstances, wherever you find yourself, you are invited by God to not allow your past sins to stop you from sharing the gospel. You might say, but my family knows me. My coworkers, they heard me gossiping. My friends at school, they saw me cheat. My neighbors in my community saw me drink too much. Who am I to share Jesus? Don't allow your past sins to dictate your decision to make disciples. Don't allow your present circumstance to stop you. Yeah, but no one in my job, no one in my environment where I work are Christians. People in my neighborhood, they don't want to hear about Jesus all the time. People in my school, it's not a Catholic school, so how can I share Jesus? Period. Go out and share Jesus. If this young man can share Jesus at Angola prison, if Paul could share Jesus when he was in prison, then how can we not share Jesus today where we are planted right now? So how are we invited to share Jesus? It's very simple. We can either reach out to one person who comes to our mind, comes to our heart after we spend time in prayer, and we can either invite that person to Mass next week. If we're participating in one of the small group St. Peter's Bible studies, we can invite them to join our Bible study in mid-September when they begin. Or we can simply just invite them to coffee, to a deeper friendship with us. And in the context of that deeper friendship, we can share our relationship with Jesus, talk about the time we spend with God in prayer, share our glory stories with them, and then ask them about their relationship with God. Do they have one? Do they know him? Have they heard of him? And if not, ask them if you could pray for them. If we do what this young man in Angola is doing, if we do what St. Paul did, then we too will be a bridge for them to come to him. And if they can abide in a relationship with God on earth now, then God will give them and us the grace to remain in relationship with him forever in the kingdom of heaven for all eternity.